This is definitely, what I'm going to talk about is research that the Sustainable Agricultural Systems Lab in Beltsville, which is USDA ALS, has done in collaboration with the University of Maryland over almost a 10-year period. Just by means of introduction, as probably everybody in the room knows, organic sources of nitrogen include cover crops and animal byproducts, and there's been an interest in using these to increase soil health, maybe increase ecosystem services, and decrease energy use compared to nitrogen mineral fertilizers. And maybe as many of you know as well, legume cover crops often don't provide enough nitrogen for a high nitrogen demanding crop such as corn, whereas animal manures often have too much phosphorus relative to nitrogen relative to plant needs, so that using either one of them alone is not sufficient or adequate for growing for using organic sources of nitrogen, so that it can be very useful to combine these two sources of organic materials. So we have a long-term project at Beltsville called the Farming Systems Project that allows us to kind of get a sense of how mineral fertilizers compare to organic nitrogen sources over the long term. We have a conventional system and an organic system that both have a similar rotation: corn followed by an annual rye, a cereal rye cover crop, then soybeans, and then fall planted wheat, and then a legume. In the case of the conventional system, the legume is a double crop soybean, and in the organic system, it's a hairy vetch cover crop. In addition, so in the conventional system, we'd use just mineral fertilizers, and in the organic system, we use both hairy vetch and poultry litter. And you can see there the rates at which we apply them. The poultry litter is applied at relatively low rates compared to what organic farmers in Maryland apply it at. But in general, what we're trying to do with this long-term project is mimic what farmers in the area are doing and then evaluate sustainability of the systems. So what we found, without showing you all the data after 20 years, is that the cover crops help reduce predicted soil erosion using models. We're not set up to actually measure soil erosion, but the cover crops have that benefit. They also decrease fossil energy use, and they improve soil health. Many aspects of soil health are significantly higher: soil organic carbon, potentially mineralizable nitrogen, particulate organic matter. And this all leads to an increase in soil fertility, such that corn yields are about 40% higher in the organic systems when we don't apply any nitrogen compared to the conventional system. So in other words, that increase in yield is all due to the residual soil carbon and nitrogen. Of course, there's challenges. As implied in the first slide, is that we are finding an increase in soil test phosphorus in the organic systems that rely, because of the poultry litter, the higher phosphorus content of that compared to plant needs, even at these relatively low rates of application. And we find, though, that there's also an increase in N2O emissions, and it's a fairly significant increase in N2O emissions, and that's due to the higher soil organic nitrogen, and we can get into the details of that later, but I'm not going to talk any more about this long-term project other than to point that this suggests that nitrogen and phosphorus management could be improved compared to what farmers are doing right now in the organic world. And so what can we do? Well, if we look at the conventional side of things, for mineral fertilizers, people have talked about the four R's: the right source, rate, timing, and placement of nitrogen fertilizers. Well, maybe we can apply this to this conceptual framework to organic sources of nitrogen. There's been limited research on this, and here I've just outlined some of the options that we have in terms of sources. We can use legumes, of course, and there's different legumes. That's hairy vetch, crimson clover, and Austrian winter pea at the top. There's all sorts of different kinds of animal manures, and there's also animal byproducts that are available, like feather meal, and some others I'll show later. Of course, we can alter the rate not only of the animal manures, but also of the cover crops, and I'll show a little bit more on what that means later. And with new equipment being developed, we can also apply organic materials like poultry litter at side dress and not just at planting. So we have that option with newly developed equipment. And that equipment can also inject or band the organic materials instead of just relying on broadcasting the materials. So I'm going to talk about three different experiments that we have to improve nitrogen use efficiency of organic sources of nitrogen. It's all going to be for corn, and we're going to be manipulating the four R's, both of legume cover crops and of animal byproducts. The first two experiments were designed to meet the needs of organic farmers in Maryland, and the third experiment was more conventional systems. First experiment, we manipulated source and timing of organic nitrogen inputs. The second experiment, we manipulated source, rate, and timing. And the third experiment, the more complex one, we manipulated all four, source, rate, timing, and placement. So for the first experiment, the sources of animal byproducts, what we're interested in looking at is organic sources of nitrogen that had lower phosphorus levels for a given amount of plant available nitrogen. In Maryland, we have a fairly large poultry industry, so we have a lot of poultry litter available. There's also a pelletized poultry litter option, feather meal is an option, and then there's a blend that's a combination of the pelletized poultry litter and feather meal called PFMB in some of the slides you'll see. In this experiment, we also then had a nitrogen response curve to compare our organic materials, to put them in the context of nitrogen fertilizer equivalents. And you can see on the last column over there, the cost of plant-available nitrogen for these various products you see is quite a range. And I'll come back to that a little later. So that's one aspect of the experiment. We then applied these materials in a split plot that had vetch in half of the plot and no vetch in the other half of the plot. So we applied these materials with and without vetch, and we applied them both at pre-plant and side dress, and you can see we used some fairly sophisticated technology to do that. That's John Spargo, who conducted a lot of this research right there. So what did we find? Essentially, we found that all four of these materials applied at key replacement rates provided the same corn grain yield as ammonium nitrate applied at the same nitrogen rate. And those were all higher than the control. There's one exception, the pelletized poultry litter in 2009. But in essence, at key replacement rates, we're finding that we're getting significantly greater yields than the control. You notice that this is with no vetch. And this is also with no vetch. And now we're looking only at 2009 at the timing of animal byproducts. So we're looking at the side dress application. And you can see at the top there that we did get a benefit overall of 17 bushels per acre increase with the side dress application. For reference, this is the maximum yield we had with the mineral nitrogen fertilizer. So we're not quite at that same level with just these organic animal byproducts. Here's the reason we don't have vetch, unfortunately. Every now and then in Maryland, vetch does winter kill. This happened to be one of the years. That's John Spargo again. I think he's crying or something. But in 2010, we did have vetch. And we had all the same treatments, pre-plant and side dress. But first, I want to tell you that the average for, corn grain yield with vetch was greater than without vetch. And we only found one significant difference with the side dress application, and that was without vetch with the pelletized poultry litter. And with vetch, we found that the average corn grain yield is actually the same as it was at zero application of ammonium nitrate, and ammonium nitrate didn't increase yield at any of our rates beyond that. So we were basically at the yield potential with all our treatments with the vetch. But without the vetch, we didn't quite reach that level. So the summary from this first experiment is that poultry litter is the preferred organic material in this area because it had similar performance as the other organic materials. It also has, and it has lowest cost. So since it has lowest cost, it's has more value. What I didn't show, but we had phosphorus removal was similar to phosphorus inputs at this application rate of poultry litter. In terms of the source, corn yield with vetch plus poultry litter at the pea replacement gave us a maximum yield, as I just showed. And in terms of timing, corn yield with side dress poultry litter was equal to that with pre-plant application, sometimes higher, but not consistently, though. So the second experiment is basically taking this concept out onto the farm. We did this in three locations, two farm locations, and one at Beltsville Agricultural Research Center. And the treatments on farm were, we allowed farmers to pick among these three cover crops. They could choose two or three if they wanted. And essentially the two farmers picked two of those, and they also have to have a control. And then we applied pulverizer at three different rates, a nitrogen rate, a phosphorus rate, and none. And in terms of timing, we used the nitrogen phosphorus based rates at planting. At Sidegrass, we only applied the phosphorus based rates. So not a completely factorial experiment, but it was replicated on both farms and at Beltsville Ag Research Center. I'm only going to show the results from one of the farms only because it's the most, because it's representative in that we didn't see too many differences overall. With no cover over to the to your right, no amendment over 2 years gave a fairly low yield. This is non-irrigated site. One of the years was fairly dry. And you see that with the three different poultry litter application rates and timing, we didn't get any differences in corn yield with no cover. With the cover crops pea and vetch, we didn't get any increase beyond what we got with the cover crops with the three poultry litter application rates and timing. And what was interesting here is that pre-Sidegrass nitrate test was below the 21 part per million threshold on all sites, suggesting that we had inadequate soil nitrogen in all locations and all treatments. But it's pretty evident that either we didn't have enough, or and corn yield was limited by water. But we had an irrigated site where that was the same situation, and we didn't get a yield response we only got a yield response to cover crops or poultry litter independently, but not in combination. So a summary from the second experiment is that sites with a long history of cover cropping, these are organic farms, a long history of cover cropping and poultry litter application had high soil nitrogen reserves but low PSNT. In terms of the sources, corn yield was maximized with only cover crops or only poultry litter. All three cover crops performed equally. We also had a high variation on these farms. Corn yield was maximized at poultry litter applied at a pea removal or lower rate when no legume cover crop was present. And in terms of timing, we found that similar as what we found in the more of a controlled study at Boyk, experiment one, that at a pea removal rate, Sidegrass pea poultry litter application was as effective as pre-plant application. So finally, the third experiment, which is a little more complex. This experiment is largely driven by Stephen Mursky, who might be in the room, who I will pass all questions on to. The objectives of this third experiment were to apply the lessons we learned from these first two experiments to a conventional no-till corn production system and to address the lack of synchrony between nitrogen release from legumes and corn and uptake. We haven't talked about that explicitly, but probably a lot of you know that when you kill a legume cover crop at corn planting, a lot of that nitrogen is released prior to the fastest rates of corn and uptake. So to address that, Stephen set up an experiment where he combined hairy vetch legume cover crop with a rye cover crop. And I'll show you some more details of that in a second. And also in Maryland, we have restrictions for surface application of organic nitrogen sources. And so Stephen, along with some engineers, I don't know if I have a pointer here. Yeah, I guess I do. Designed this Sidegrass poultry litter applicator. And so we were able to not only apply poultry litter at Sidegrass using this technology, but also subsurface band it between the rows of corn. I should also mention that this work has been critical to the master's and now PhD for Brian Davis and the master's of Hannah Poppenberger, who's now completing her PhD at Iowa State University. So if you see them, they might have additional information about this experiment. So complex experiment with different rates of hairy vetch and cereal rye planting from 100% rye, 0% vetch, all the way up to 100% vetch and 0% rye, and then 4 different rates in between. And then there's also a bare ground treatment. And the goal of this then is to develop different release rates of nitrogen from those cover crops to address that lack of synchronization. So here again, seeing that gradient of cover crop mixtures, now looking at the above ground nitrogen content of the both the vetch in blue and the rye in black, and the combination of the two in red, we see that rye is expected would be expected to get less nitrogen content due to the lower biomass of rye. You go across the gradient. Vetch, on the other hand, increasing nitrogen content. When we look at the nitrogen content then of both in combination in this mixture, you'll notice that 100% vetch over here has the same nitrogen content as about 60% vetch and 40% rye. So the mixture is providing as much nitrogen as the vetch, and that nitrogen has a different carbon to nitrogen ratio, as you might expect, going along the same gradient from a relatively high carbon to nitrogen ratio all the way down to a very low carbon to nitrogen ratio. And this is 100% vetch. You'll notice also that the mixtures increase the carbon to nitrogen ratio above this 20, which should be enough to slow down the release of nitrogen from those mixtures. And indeed, looking at a cover crop decomposition experiment with decomposition bags, litter bags, you'll see in both years that the rye on the top here and the hairy vetch on the bottom had substantially different decomposition rates, and in this case, three different combinations were intermediate, and these ratios are different than I've shown you before, only because we, in the litter bags, did change that up just a little bit. But it gives you a good sense that this mixture of cover crops has been effective at releasing nitrogen, slowing down the rate of release of nitrogen, and I just showed you that somewhere in the middle there, we're getting the same amount of total nitrogen in that mixture. I can see mine. There we go. So then, Stephen and company overlaid a fertility treatments on top of that. That was largely is based on this rate of poultry litter subsurface banded from a very low rate to a pea removal rate, a nitrogen removal rate, and then just an excess rate to be able to provide this strong gradient of nitrogen inputs. So that's the rate. And again, this is applied using this fancy machine. When we look at this combination here, these three treatments were to look at what the effect of timing and placement of that poultry litter is. Again, here the subsurface banded. Up here, broadcast surface poultry litter at planting, but not tilled in. Here it was tilled in to look at the effect of timing and placement. And then we can also compare the source, because we have at the end rate, we have both the subsurface banded poultry litter and surface UAN side dress, which is more standard management practice in Maryland. So that kind of outlines the complexity of the experiment. Now for some of the results. The nitrogen source, we can compare nitrogen source between the surface UAN and the subsurface poultry litter, and basically there's no real differences, so that the subsurface banded poultry litter is performing as well as the standard methods. That's good news. When we look then at the poultry litter application rates, again we have the gradient of cover crops down here. And just look at the red line to start with. This is zero poultry litter. So this is just the effect of the cover crop mixture gradient on corn grain yield. And you'll see a couple of things. One, of course, it's increasing as the nitrogen availability increases, but it does not reach the maximum corn yield that we reach with these various rates of poultry litter application. When we apply poultry litter at phosphorus-based rate, we do reach the same level of corn grain yield as with the nitrogen-based rate, but not until we have about 80% of the vetch, that mixture is 80% vetch. For the nitrogen-based rate, there's not much difference in actual corn yield across this pretty wide gradient of rye to vetch percentages. So with the nitrogen based rate, we can have a higher rate of rye and less vetch, which we saw has a slower nitrogen release rate as well. So hopefully that's increasing the synchrony between N uptake of corn and N availability. I'm going to flash this up real quick. I don't want to spend too much time on it. It's looked because we just did it last week. Looking, this is a measure of nitrogen use efficiency for only the poultry litter components. And as expected, as nitrogen increases, nitrogen rate increases, and NUE decreases. But there is a difference between the N-based and the P-based, but we haven't fully fleshed that out yet, which is why I don't want to dwell on it. But we're struggling with how to best measure nitrogen use efficiency with these organic manure materials. And finally, N2O was in the title, and so it is here. This gives you a good view of what that mixture looks like right before it's killed. It's pretty big. And we measured nitrogen N2O emissions all through the before this was planted, all the way through the winter into the next year for these numbers. We measured N2O in bare ground. We didn't do it in all treatments because of the labor intensity of it. We measured it in cereal rye monoculture, a hairy vetch monoculture, and then one of the gradients in between. We measured it in all fertility treatments except that top one. And what did we find? When we compare N sources, so again, this is the subsurface banded poultry litter versus surface UAN. So again, the surface UAN is a standard method. We see that subsurface banding poultry litter with these, when we have vetch in the system, does reduce N2O compared to UAN. In bare ground, slightly different, and of course, these rates of N2O are higher than in the other two treatments. In terms of N2O along a nitrogen rate gradient here, this is total input for the poultry litter plus the cover crop residues. If we look at the hairy vetch curve here, well, first of all, you'll notice that they're all exponential models that fit the data best. So that's, I think, one of the first showing of that of this type of curve for organic materials. There's some good data, of course, on fertilizer, on mineral fertilizer. The hairy vetch curve here is higher than the bare ground. So hairy vetch is giving us more, which is what we found also in essentially in the FSP at the very beginning, the long-term project. But this mixture here is lower N2O at all these normal N application rates here than the hairy vetch is throughout this range of kind of normal nitrogen rates. So the mixture is reducing N2O emissions compared to a pure vetch cover crop. So that's good news. But the timing and the placement, when we look at that, and now we're looking at the subsurface banded poultry litter versus the tilled poultry litter, subsurface banding does increase N2O emissions relative to tilled poultry litter when we have the vetch in the system. Is that telling me that I have how many minutes? Half a minute? Zero. So the conclusions, I'm done. Thanks. I've given you all the conclusions already. And
one quick question. Really nice presentation. If you could boil it down into best management practice, what would it be?
I was afraid I'd get that question. Well, I think for the organic farmers, we can definitely say you can apply your poultry litter at quite a lower rate based on those first two experiments, and probably plant, if you know, side dressing is not that common an option yet, so reducing your poultry litter application rates has really been a big message to the organic farmers we work with, and I think that's really important because organic farmers are no different than conventional farmers. They sometimes want to have enough insurance nitrogen just in case it's such a great year, right? And so, and the fact that the organic component is a less well characterized, they have a little more uncertainty, so they might even have more of that kind of tendency to apply at a higher rate. So I think we've convinced them that they need to start thinking at lower rates, so that's good. But the conclusions from the second piece, I'm going to leave that to Stephen Mirsky, who's giving a talk on it tomorrow, so there you go.